What's up, everybody? This is Moonshine Shotgun Mulligan Podcast, sitting here with my boy CC Stats. What's up, brother? How's it going?
Good evening, Moonshine, on this evening of the full moon. I heard a little while ago it's apparently the snowy moon for the next two nights.
Wow.
Apparently it's gonna be,
it was looking pretty nice.
Apparently it's going to be one of the brightest moons that we've had in a while, so who knew?
I mean, it was kind of silly. It was pretty light outside when I was picking out the trash. Yeah. Your boy was just doing mad work around the house for about the past 2 hours. Family man, dude.
Family
gotta
man.
Gotta get it done.
I came home. I was not a family. I came home. I washed dried a few dishes, ate a little dinner, poured a little wine, got something else to drink. Here we are.
Well, what is that? What you drinking, brother?
Well, I put it behind me tonight because we talked about it last week, but this is the 1899 special, the old Taylor.
Nice.
Of Tom Post class, the 1899 1.75, a little E.H. Taylor. So definitely tastes better in my Glencairn glass. Got a little.
You're really selling it, dude.
Dude.
What's the notes?
A little caramel, a little bit of vanilla. I don't know. The first time I had it in a rocks glass, this time I'm like, It definitely tastes a lot better. What's funny is I went in the other day and it was like on the bottom shelf at at the liquor store. And I bought it at one. It was like, you can only buy one bottle. So I don't know what to believe. Is it something you can easily get or something you can't easily get? So I guess I need to talk to somebody and be like, is this like hard to find stuff or can I get it pretty easy? Apparently you can bring it pretty easy.
I'm sure it's like somewhat hard because it's a Buffalo Trace product.
Yeah.
A little difficult to find them. But your boy over here is changing it up tonight, Stats. I mean,
uh-oh.
I kind of just go off the walls every now and then. I've been thinking about it, though, recently. I was driving in the truck the other day. I was like, y'all call me Moonshine Mark, and I haven't had moonshine yet, which at some time, I'll surprise somebody with some shine. But your boy tonight got a little black cherry claw tonight.
I'm not a big white claw, but the black cherry is one of my favorites.
Yeah, man, I can't really do claws, but when I had Black Cherry, the Bud Light one's silly. Like, I think that's the best one, and then the White Claw Black Cherry's pretty good. But yeah, man, there's something about a refreshing Black Cherry, and then you can go right to the Bud Light or a little bourbon after it. Silly.
That's my go-to. Like, if it's a hot day, and I just finished mowing the grass, and it's like 3 o'clock, and I'm not ready for a beer yet, crack open a White Claw or a Truly. I haven't had a lot of the Bud Lights yet, but let's go.
Yeah, the Bud Lights are silly because they come in the big, or at least at the events, college football, and, you know,
24 ounces.
Since you can drink it, college football is just sick. I mean,
I don't know how anybody
nice watching a college football game got a cold beer. But yeah, they come in the 22s. Yeah, the big Bud Light Black Cherries, man. I was at the Marshall game this last year, had my 22. 22 Black Cherry. I was ready to go.
I don't know how anybody can drink 22 ounces of like a hard seltzer or something carbon. Like, it just, I feel like even after one, I'm like, all right, I'm full. I need to take a little break. I need to go run a couple laps.
No, dude, it was so refreshing, man. I don't know what it was. I guess it was just the environment, you know, one of those things. I probably had bad heartburn after the game, but
yeah. Well, what a weekend for sports. We had the Super Bowl of golf. I'm not talking about the Masters, folks, but this tournament always falls in line with the Super Bowl. We had the Waste Management and we had the Super Bowl all in the same weekend. This weekend, we got the Super Bowl and NASCAR coming up. So, yeah, it was fun. I got to watch. I watched quite a bit on Saturday. I didn't watch as much on Sunday, obviously, with the Super Bowl coming on and I was doing some food prep. But pretty good weekend. I will save some of the bet talk till later. But, my golf picks, not so much, as you know, in the league. Your boy went from first 2 weeks ago to last week.
Right. You're doing pretty well going into the weekend, and you fell out. You were second, right, going into the weekend?
No, I was sixth.
Before the cut?
I was sixth.
Were you
was
really?
Terrible. Oh, it was awful. It was bad. All my guys.
Luke, last week.
Luke List, poopy. Everybody was poopy last week.
Pat Perez crushed us. I mean, I had so many missed cuts. I still ended up fourth, I think. I mean, which is not good, but I was grinding with just two people, I think, or three. Had Matty Fitz, Scotty, and which Scotty was a good pick, obviously, but other than Scotty, Matty Fitz, and Doug Gim, I think, made the cut. But otherwise, I got screwed. But your boy, I did get a winner pick, but unfortunately, I picked pretty much all winners and then three top fives. And, of course, Scotty, I picked top five, so only won me like $4 or $5. So, I mean, it won me a couple bucks back from my other bets, but your boy could have hit it for about $30 or whatever it was. I think it was $1 won you $30 last week. But, wow, man, that tournament was sick, though, man. I really – the last couple times that I've watched the Waste Management, I've always been into it because it's kind of America's tournament, like I put on the title last week, but – there's just something about it this year, man. The buzz was awesome. It was just sick seeing that many people together partying and having a good time.
Usually they
snag a couple good names, but for the most part, I think what's killed the buzz, like you're saying, is the field hasn't been phenomenal every year. I mean, sometimes they get some good names. They always have a few good people, but then they are intermixed with some of the, you know, kind of more bottom feeders of the tour. It was just cool seeing some of the top guys get after it. Two hole-in-ones. That was crazy.
Well, let's just dive into that. Let's dive into that right now, because that's been the big talk over the past couple of days. Old man golf versus new man golf. New golf.
Right.
And I missed watching the hole-in-one live probably by 5 minutes. And so I was watching the CBS coverage, and it was bedlam. Bedlam. It was crazy. I've never seen anything like it. I don't hate it. I thought it was cool. I'm not going to say I'm an old man, but I don't know. There is some, I'm trying to think of the word. Help me out here. I don't know that the PGA Tour has set it up that way. So what else are you going to expect? You know?
Right.
And I, you know, 5 years ago, it wasn't, or 6 years ago, it wasn't that crazy, whenever it was. I don't have a problem with it. I thought it was crazy. I think there's got to be a point where, like, all right, enough's enough. I don't want to say enough's enough, but, like, you know, because then you do it on holes in ones. I don't think I have any problem with it. But then guys are chipping in and they're doing it. And then Harry Higgs is taking his shirt off and Joel Damon's taking his shirt off and they're doing it. Now, granted, those two knuckleheads were challenged because they were playing in the same group. I don't know.
The elder statesman over here.
I don't hate it.
Golf Channel on.
But how do you think Patrick Cantlay felt when he was putting there on 17 and balls bouncing because of full, like, if you're going to throw a beer can, at least empty it out before you throw it. Don't throw a full beer can into the green. My man's got a putt, right, make a putt, and he's bouncing all the way to the hole. I don't know. Again, I don't hate it. I think it's great for golf. I think it brings a new energy to golf that you're not going to see. And I'm not saying I want that every weekend, because could you imagine if people started doing that shit at Augusta on 11? Woo!
They went to lose their mind.
Yeah, or 12. 11 or 12. Somebody chips in from the wall.
If anyone tried to even, like, pull up their arm to throw a beer can, someone would be, like, tackling them.
It'd be a secret sniper. Just take them out. Yeah. Yeah, I'm not saying I want it every weekend, but I think it would be cool. Like, obviously, it can happen at Sawgrass. I don't know. Maybe at Sawgrass, I'll throw him into the lake. I thought it was unique, though, too, because it happened to be, they're all throwing beer cans. It happened to be the Waste Management Open. So that was kind of, it's kind of a signature move now, I guess. So,
right. No, to be honest, I didn't have any problem with it but I can get what you're saying. And I mean, at some point, it'll get to a point where it's getting too out of control, it was kind of cool to see. I mean, I was surprised that I thought Brandel Chamblee was going to go old man golf and get all upset. And then when I heard him saying, you know, they're, you know, basically giving him props for making the hole in one, it's like showing appreciation, which I was completely surprised he would say that. Like, I thought he would go all like, this is ridiculous, this is over the top. And it was a little bit, but I mean, I loved it, man. Just like hole in one, people are just like,
you know what it reminds me of?
Brand beer everywhere.
When there's a meme out there of all the fans in the bar. Not even a meme. It's like a GIF or a video of all the fans in the bar. there's like this massive screen TV.
Oh yeah.
And they're playing like the March Madness theme music comes on and everybody starts throwing the beer. That's right. What it reminded me of when they showed the camera angle like behind the hole and they show the crowd and everybody starts throwing beer. I was like, that could be the new, like, hey, the March Madness tournament's starting. Augusta's starting. Like, they could just, CBS should use that footage all year long.
Right. Like, the energy was just insane. But you know what was funny that I thought, though, I was just thinking this today, too, is Harry Higgs, you know, gets challenged by Joel Damon to take the shirt off. Well, Joel takes his shirt off, and then Harry, I feel like his was a little bit, you know, abbreviated.
But didn't Harry do it first?
Well, the picture when he does the big flip up, Joel's got his shirt off. So I think Joel took it off first.
Okay.
And then your boy got a little scared. I think he was worried he was going to get fined, man. He barely made the cut. So he's like, man,
I'm only going to
pull it up to my neck.
I'll give him credit, though, man. That was one swift move. He knocked his hat off, pulled his head straight through the shirt. I mean, it helps. He has the buttons unbuttoned anyway, so it just made it easy.
What would have made it better, though, if someone tossed him a beer and he did the TJ out, she threw the shirt. That would have been legit. I thought it was cool. I thought it was funny. You know, they're just trying to have a good time. But yeah. I think Harry's a little corny in a way. Like, you need to grab a beer and just chug a beer and get fine. Like, just get in trouble. I mean, you're taking your shirt off. Just go full in. Yeah. It just seemed a little bit that he was a little scared.
Yeah, yeah. This next topic is going back to Brandel Chambly and his comments over the weekend on Charlie Hoffman. And I'll be honest, I read about it. I didn't see what happened to Charlie Hoffman. I read that he apparently thought he should have it a drop somewhere. And that, anyway, and his comments, again, I need to go back and see it before I can actually comment on it. But Chambly just first, DeChambeau agreed with him. Mickelson agreed with him. And then Chambly just blasts him.
Right.
That he should have known the rule and da-da-da. And maybe – again, I'm going to reserve the comment maybe till next week until I actually see it. But I thought that was pretty big news too. What he said about that, and I don't know if you saw it, so I'll defer to you.
Yeah, I mean, I saw him going at him, and I watched maybe a little bit of the clip of him just ripping into Charlie and a lot of these guys. I mean, he's got to defend the PGA Tour, but in a way, it's annoying to see. Sometimes I like Brandel's takes, and then sometimes he just goes full bore. And I think it's just for media attention, and they're obviously going to be on the PGA Tour side because it's a PGA Tour kind of backed company. I mean, I don't think there's any financial connection with them, but, you know, they kind of support each other, obviously. But, yeah, I don't know. You know, I didn't see it either, so I can't really comment. I read a little bit about what Charlie said happened. I guess he tried. It was one of those situations, right? He tried the drop, and then he tried it again, and then it rolled out, and then he placed it, right? But then he hit it, and then they said that was, what did they say, it was a legal drop or something?
Something like that, yeah.
So I didn't get to see exactly. I just needed to watch and see what it was. But it sounds like all these guys are just trying to find ways to call out the tour and put a little pressure on them. Which in a way, I think they need, because they don't have a collective bargaining agreement, right? They don't have a players association, right? I mean, although it's annoying that all these professional organizations have lockouts all the time, I think that they do need some negotiating power on things. You know, it can't just be the PGA Tours or nothing. On the other hand, though, the Saudi League crap, they're just trying to throw money at these dudes, and I really don't. I get putting pressure on the PGA Tour. I think people should call out the PGA Tour, the players, especially big names like Phil and some other people that can move needles just to, so they get some more support and they get compensated for what they, you know, deserve, or they should be able to have more media rights or all the things that they want to do, but the PGA Tour limits. But on the other hand, the Saudi stuff, I think that, you know, if they get banned from the PGA Tour, is it really worth it? Now, sure, maybe it's worth it for some of the guys that are struggling just to, you know, make a living on the PGA Tour. Say you got some of these guys that have been on a tour for years and they're about to lose their card and, you know, they're about to go back on the Corn Ferry and they feel like they're too old to kind of fight back up to the PGA Tour. Sure, accept some cash and go over there. But I think your big names, that would be kind of ridiculous to just accept that money and then just lose the chance of all the traditions of all the our PGA Tour events, never be able to compete, you know, in the Masters or this and that. I mean, it's hard to say from us. I mean, if someone threw you $300 million or whatever throwing out, who knows how you feel about it.
But I agree with you. I think there's going to be some guys that will make the jump. What level they are, I don't know. I would be shocked if it's a guy like a DeChambeau or somebody from that high, that top tier. Maybe a guy that's on the back end of the middle tier that's kind of had a good career early and has kind of faded late. Like, and I'm going to say this, this is just thinking right now, just off the cuff, maybe a guy like Matt Kuchar. Kuchar's had a great career. He's older. I don't want to say he's not on the tail end of his career. Like maybe he is. I mean, he's 40-ish, right around 40. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's a guy that might take a jump at it. You know, that's a
right.
And he's not. I don't want to say Matt Kuchar is a big name, but I don't know if he's not up there with the boys that, you know, the guys that are like DeChambeau and Thomas and Rahm. He was maybe 10 years ago. So maybe that's a guy. Honestly, what I'm fed up with is there's all this talk about this tour. Well, what's going to happen? Like, either shit or get off the pot. Let's go. Like, right. You got Norman apparently going to run it. Like,
I don't think it's going to come to fruition, dude, to be honest. Like, I literally think it's going to fall apart because how are you just doing backdoor deals on all this and then not actually following through with any of that, you know?
Right, right. No, I agree with you. It's annoying. There's a lot of talk about it and all this speculation, but then nothing's coming of it. So I believe it when I see it. Like if one or two guys start to jump, all right, then maybe we can talk a little bit more.
Well, I think Colin Morikawa basically, you know, hit on that. He exactly said something to the term of, hey, we've heard about all this kind of things behind the scenes, but we haven't really seen it come to fruition, like I was saying. And then, but then you get all these reports with Rappaport, like all seven guys have signed on, or, you know, are going to sign on for ridiculous amounts of money, this and that. I mean, it's literally every week someone's talking about it, but it's really not. Has any of those dudes been like, yeah, man, I'm all in coming out? Because I think they're worried about it. They're not going to just say, hey, I'm signing this deal. I'm going in the Saudi leg because I assume that they're worried that the PGA Tour is just going to suspend them if they come out, you know, in public and say that. I'm sure there's a lot of things with walls and all that could have issues with that. But I don't know. I think it would be cool in a way if it was kind of a in-between tour from the Senior Tour and the regular PGA Tour. So if you had like an in-between champions and PGA Tour for a guy like Matt Kuchar, a guy like Phil Mickelson, those guys, that'd be cool. That'd be something else to watch.
I mean, Tiger, he falls right in that, everyone. Falls in that character. I mean, I don't want to put him in that category, but he falls in that category, you know?
But yeah, I don't know.
Well, I don't know if you saw Bryson's all hot and bothered because everybody's speculating when he's going to play, when he's not going to play. Then he puts out a statement saying, I'm the only one that's going to make a comment on when I'm playing. And supposedly he's not going to play till Bay Hill in a couple weeks. He's taking a few weeks off because I don't even know. How did he fall? Did he say how he fell and hurt his ribs and his wrist and whatever else?
Did he really fall? Well, you know,
who knows?
I think that's all coming from his camp. You can't swing like that, dude, and be fine for a long term. Who has swung that hard? Think about it. The guys that went big distance that really were trying to rip it, had a lot of cork, you know, were really going after it. You got your Vijay Singhs, your Ernie Els, your Tigers, all these dudes, injuries, Koepka, knee injury, who else? I mean, there's tons of these dudes that have went pretty hard on distance at some point in their career. Sure, it paid off here and there, but long term, they just jacked their body up.
Yeah, no, I agree. I don't know. He still bothers me. You talked about it last week. His numbers, you know, his first 5 years versus the last, however many starts he's got. Yeah, he's won almost the same amount of times. He's got one major versus no majors. His numbers are almost identical versus what he was hitting before when he was, what, 40, 50 pounds lighter? I'll go back and say it again. He can hit it 300, 400 yards. I don't care. Unless he can consistently chip and putt and get up and down from locations that other guys, he's not going to be, I just don't feel like he's going to get to that next level. He's going to be, I mean, if I were to bet $100 right now that Bryson wins more than four majors, I would probably willing to, I'd take that $100 bet. I just don't see it. I think the fields are too good. You know, I don't care if you're playing at Augusta. I mean, it was proven. He went to Augusta and he didn't play well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he can hit it a million miles there.
Well, if Rory can't win another major, like, how do you think Bryson's going to win a couple more majors? Or, you know, or Brooks that was on a roll, now he's having a little hard time. I agree. I would take a $200 bet that he won't win more than four majors. I mean, there's no chance.
I will say, I think Brooks had some injuries last year, which he's had, like you said, he's had some in the past. I think Brooks is going to be, he seems a little bit more energized from what I've read and seen. He seems more energized going into this season than he's been over the past two. And I think it would not surprise me if you see him win at least one, if not multiple majors this year, or at least one or two in the next 2 years, you know? Because I think.
Yeah, I think he could. I don't think he's going to rattle off multiple in a year, like three in a year, but I think he could have, like you're saying, a couple, like maybe win one this year, one next year.
Well, and he's the kind of guy that could go out and win at down in Florida, TPC. He could start there and win there,
right,
at Sawgrass. And then he's won the PGA Championship. He's won the U.S. Open. He's the kind of guy that can win those tournaments because he does hit it far, but he can also get up and down. His short game is on point. And I think, kind of moving on, that's what we all said about DJ 5, 6, 7 years ago, when they were at Pebble before and DJ had the lead. Everybody talked about DJ and his wedge game. Now, DJ has turned that around, but I think he's another guy. Like, if he can be play consistently, now he hasn't played golf in God knows how long.
Right.
I mean, but I think,
you know how DJ is. He could come out this week and then just win.
I think I read said he took like 3 months off, didn't touch a club, 2 months off. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't know if he's even played yet this year. I'll be honest. I haven't followed what's been going on in Europe too much. I think I shared it last week. That still just stands out. You talk about Rory. I got to watch the final round of that tournament Rory was in a couple weeks ago. And Rory going in 18 – he had like 265, which I thought was a long way out, and I knew he could get there. But then I watched the playoff, and one of the guys had 230. So Rory obviously didn't catch it all. And Rory just fanned a three wood straight into the drink. And I'm like, is this what we're going to see, or Rory, when it's pressure moment? I mean, I don't know. And he's playing this week. He's playing this week, but I don't think this is not a few. If he comes out and plays well this week, all right, show me some more. And he has played well at times. He's been consistently good, but not great. Not to the point where he's going to win every third start or, you know, every couple weeks. And Riviera is a very tricky, testy course. You got to put it in a fairway. I think it's the Kikuyu grass in the rough is very sticky. Mm-hmm. You'll hear that all weekend. If he can keep it in the fairway, all right, and putt, I don't see a problem, but I think this tournament brings some of the guys that, you know, a guy like Max Homa who won there last year, you know, guys like that. Sam Burns played well last year. So some of the guys top, like Rahm, has not played his best golf as of late.
Right. Yeah. I mean, he had some good golf in the fall or whatever, but then he hasn't really pulled it. But how are you feeling, Seth? I'm loving the energy. The Genesis, dude. You love Riviera.
I do love Riviera.
You know
why
I think you like Riviera? It's because it's a tough test. You are total like test of golf kind of guy, because every time we've played golf, you're not somebody that just goes out and plays dumb. Like, you go out and actually try to smart your way through the golf course, and it works. I mean, you know, usually if you're on your game, you have a good round because you're actually playing smart and seeing what the golf course is giving you, knowing where to hit it, knowing where to miss. Whereas jokers like me go out and just try to demolish the ball and then you hit 3-0-B and then there goes your score, you know?
I think what I like about Riviera, it is a true test. It could host the U.S. Open, which would make it even harder. The winning score there is usually between 8 and 10, 11, maybe even 12 under. I think last year it maybe got to 12 because the scores were a little low on the last day. I don't like to see what last week, what was the winning score? 15, 14, 16?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
That's probably an average score, winning score for, on the PGA Tour. But when you see scores of 9, 10 under, I mean, these guys are shooting 2 and 3 under a day. And it's a grind. And Riviera, I think, is a true test of, I mean, you go into 18, some of these guys hitting a draw doesn't really play well into them on 18. They got to hit a cut. And mm-hmm. you got that right. high bank and hill on the left, and you're hitting an uphill second. I don't know. It's just, there's a lot of different things about Riviera that could come into play. One little miss hit here, boom, you're in the rough, and there it's ball sits up. You might be have a jumper. If it sits down, you're going to have to just chip out. So, I don't know. I like to see a winning score in the 8-9 under range this weekend, maybe 10. We'll talk about our picks in a little bit. But, yeah, Riviera for me is like, I don't know. I like the waste management. And I like Pebble. Riviera kind of is like, all right, because you got Riviera. Then you got the Honda Classic coming up. Mm-hmm. Bay Hill, all true tests of golf. Like, Honda's got some easy holes, but it's tough. I mean, that grind down the end. And then you got Bay Hill, which is a challenging golf course.
Right.
Unless it's really wet, which probably doesn't make it as hard, but time to put up or shut up, boys. Get out there and play.
Time. And you know what it's time for?
What's that?
Moonshine to maybe make an appearance at the Genesis, because your boy is going to LA this week.
Are you really?
Let's go.
You're going to LA?
I totally did not put it together until this week. I don't know why I didn't put it together that Riviera was this week. And I'm like, holy crap, I fly out on Thursday and the Riviera, you know, Genesis Invitational is this week. So your boy's going to try to get there on Saturday morning.
Nice.
Wedding.
Nice.
Yeah, so like I'm doing some family stuff, hanging out with the mother-in-law and sister-in-law, but your boy might have to skip out and Saturday morning go and see some golf, maybe see Tiger on the range. What do you think's gonna happen? I don't think he's gonna play, obviously. He's not in the lineup, and I think that would be dumb for him to come out and prematurely maybe put himself back in the hole and get hurt or whatever. Yeah. But I think we might see him on the range.
Wouldn't surprise me.
Just taking
Damn,
some
I'm
cuts.
I'm jealous. I am jelly. Definitely jealous. You might have to get me some gear from out there, a little hat or I don't know. I don't know. The Genesis, because I just love that tournament. I'm jealous.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, so I literally just was jacked all today. I was just looking at where Riviera is compared to our hotel and plotting it out. I mean, it's like 20 minutes, probably 40 minutes with LA traffic, an hour maybe, but
hey.
Your boy can make it back to the wedding. I'm about to be pulling a wedding crash or not wedding crash, a hangover.
Well, let's talk about
my tux on the way.
Let's talk about this. What time does the wedding start?
6, I think.
Are you in the
wedding?
But
I got to be back. No.
Okay, so you got to be back by 5. 4:30.
Yeah, but I could leave at noon, and who knows, getting across LA might take me 2 hours, but we'll see.
You could get out. But why leave at noon when they tee off at like 10? You could get out there right. I would be shooting to get there first group out there. You can go talk to Harry and get him on the pod.
Well, the thing is they'll probably tee off eight or so their time though, probably, right?
Yeah, which
it'll
be
11. 10 us, right?
11 or 3 hours uh-huh. behind.
Yeah. So your boy get out there at 8, leave at 1, get back, maybe leave at 2, push it a little bit.
2:30, 3.
Get back at 3. Have about 10 minutes to get ready, get to the venue at 4.
And about 12 beers, I'll be good to go.
Right.
Here's what I would do. I would take your – take. So you have to wear a tux to this wedding?
No.
Oh, okay. I would take my – I would go to the venue first thing in the morning, drop all your stuff off, and then I would go straight to Riviera. that buys you an extra hour and a half and say, Aaron, I will meet you there. I will be there before you get there.
I've tried that for Craig's wedding and it didn't work out very well. I got off the golf course and put my stuff for the wedding at the, I was like, okay, Aaron, I'm going to get ready at the venue. We're going to finish up golf. We're going to hang out a little bit. I'll get showered up, changed. Well, your boy and everybody was drinking beers at the bar after the pre-wedding round and having a good time. All the girls, the wedding party rolls in. And she's like, what are you doing still here? Because it was either I was going to go home and shower and then come back, change in the clothes and be ready. Or it was just like I was going to finish the round super early and then get in there, shower at the venue, and then just stay. But your boy waited too long, couldn't shower at the venue. So I had to go back to the hotel. It was about 5 miles away, get back to the wedding just in time, sweating. Man, it was... It could have been a little tight, but your boy made to see Craig and Leanne get down the aisle, so I made it. But
I still think,
you know,
I still think that's the plan. You take your stuff to the venue and you change there. Or you do this. I've been to an Italian wedding. One of my wife's friends got married right after Jackson was born in Long Island. I get all suited up. Go to the wedding. Jessica's in the wedding. So she's, you know, I'm with her dad. And we're sitting there in the church. Nice, beautiful Catholic church on Long Island. All these people come rolling in. I mean, I'm in full suit and tie. Her dad's full suit and tie. His wife's all dressed up. There's a few other people in suits. Guy sitting in front of me is in cargo shorts and a polo. I'm like, other people, I'm looking around. I'm like, why in the hell am I so dressed up at this wedding? Like something is missing. Oh no, that's how it goes. You go to the wedding, you wear whatever you want. Then, so the wedding was at 1:00, it was over at 2:00. The reception didn't start till 5:00. So people had 3 hours. So then at 5:00, they had like an hour and 20 minute cocktail hour. So people rolled in 5:15. Then they're all dressed up. So that's, see, I think that's what you roll in like that. Then at the cocktail hour, you go change, do whatever, and then you're good to go.
Then they're all ready. But what happens if I leave my crap at the venue and then something happens to it and your boy rolls in sweaty from the tournament? I got my golf hat, Torrey Pines hat on. And
you find somebody to slip him a few bucks. You slip him a few bucks and say, listen, I need 15 minutes, maybe 20, to shower, shave or not shave, and just put on my fresh suit. That's all I need. Here's 20 bucks. Hook me up. I promise you, I'll be back here by 4:00, 3:30, ready to go. Give me 3:30 to 4:00 window. Boom, done. You can see the leaders tee off.
Good. Stats is trying to get to scheme, man. My ass is going to be, so you're just going to put all these things in my head and then I'm going to be just like, hey, Aaron, can you just stream me the wedding? I'm just watching these guys come in. It's moving day.
Well, offline, I'm going to ask where the venue is. I'm going to call them tomorrow for you. I'm going to be texting you all day Saturday. I'll be like, hey.
Like, what's the plan, dude?
That's right. I'm jealous.
Yeah, so I'm going to try to make it happen.
That's good stuff.
Good boy.
Now you're going to make me look.
Be the second PGA Tour event for the Shotgun Mulligan Pod. You did the playoffs last year, and boy's going to maybe get some content.
And we got. And
might
we
have to get.
Yeah, take your.
Might have to bring me a little mic, dude. Yeah, I might have to take my mic and just see if I can get a little over the ropes talk, man. Just one question in here and there.
Yeah.
I got my Torrey Pines flag from John Rahm's win. So if I see your boy Rom get his autograph on the flag, I need that for the bar, dude.
And you know, we got another local big PGA Tour event coming here in May. Mark your calendars.
We do.
Yes, the Wells Fargo.
We need to get a booth.
I don't know anybody that high up, but I could make a phone call, maybe see if there's any tickets. I don't think tickets will be an issue. I think I can score the tickets. I don't know if I can get the media credentials.
You won't get us on in the rope, dude. Let's go.
Now that would be a little bit silly, but I'm supposed to meet up with somebody, you know, soon to have just talk about a few things, and maybe I'll just say, hey, you got any connections? Like,
if you have any, you know, any separate credentials that they're just looking to your boys.
That's right, your boys.
We'd be well behaved. I wouldn't Harry Higgs or shirts off 18. I'd be well behaved, but
no. And that tournament is, I have to mark that on my calendar. I believe that tournament, because I got all worried. Now you're going to make me look, where's the PGA Tour in May? And if I'm going to Houston, I'm like, are they in Houston then? Which I know they're not. But I think I got all worried because I keep thinking that tournament's Memorial Day weekend. And I think it has been at one point. But I think that tournament is, it's either the 5th through the, I think it's the 5th through the 8th of May, which is the first weekend in May.
Okay. Yeah, that could work.
I'm definitely going to have to block that weekend off.
Yeah, I need to now because I got some stuff going on, obviously Memorial, and then I think the weekend before Memorial Day. But yeah, man, if it's early May, your boy's in. So if we can't get the press credentials, then we need to get a booth outside of the tournament, get some attention on the pod. We might have to link it up with the Beltway Golfer, get some of the DC podcasts just linked up, do a little collab pod.
May 4th through the 8th is the tournament. So that first weekend of May. So I'm definitely going to, put in for a little leave on that Friday to go out there all day. Might have to go out Saturday and Sunday with the boy. I'm shooting for at least 2 days out there, at least.
Yeah, that'd be sick. Yeah, I think, well, the day I went out to TPC Potomac and you were working it, it was a Thursday or Friday, man. That was awesome. I think it was Friday because that's when Tiger started to make a little move. It definitely was a weekday because I was off or I took off. Just randomly, I was like, I want to go to the tournament. That was a great day.
I keep sleeping on this tournament. I totally forgot about it. It's funny. They were talking about it a couple weeks ago, too. Sitting here looking at the schedule. Do they have anything posted on here? Everything starts at 7 a.m. each day. Silly.
Get those credentials, CC Stats. Do it, dude.
Hey, I'll take a parking pass and a nice fancy ticket just to get in somewhere. But I'll make a phone call. I don't have a few phone calls, but I'll make a phone call.
Let's do it. Well, speaking of, we're still on the Riviera, man. We gotta do our picks this week. You put in your DraftKings picks, right?
I did for our league. Let me pull them up here. I did them. I don't want to say I did them blind, but I looked a little bit. But I like my picks. I'm pretty happy with them. I might make one change. There's only four people have entered so far, but it's early. It's only Tuesday night. So your boy, you want to go low to high or high to low?
Let's do, I like low to high.
All right, low to high. My low man on the totem pole. He's played well this year. Well, I got two guys that have played well. I'm going to give you this guy first. He's a Virginia boy, kind of. Not originally, but went to school here. And he's been trending pretty good since last fall. 40th, 3rd, 30th, 16th. Lanto Griffin.
Oh, yeah. Blacksburg boy.
Yep.
No, BCU. Griffin, baby.
BCU, I thought.
No, it's where he grew up.
Blacksburg. Right, right.
But, yeah, he went to VCU. I like it. Virginia. Can't hate on the Virginia pick.
Nope.
So your boy came in real low, like bottom feeder. But this is a value pick, though, I think, at this number, because he had one good finish recently. I think it was last week. It wasn't like a great finish, but it was a top 25. Your boy, 6,400 JT, the postman.
Oh, nice.
6,400.
That's real low.
6,400 is low. That's real low.
See, and this, and I'm going to my next one. I don't hate it. I know he's had a low round. He had a low round at Pebble, correct?
I think so.
So my next is 7,300. This guy's got 9 out of 11 cuts made, 2 top 10s. Cried, I guess, because had some few tears on 18 because he had a bad bounce, which I didn't even see. I mean, He played good 2 weeks ago, not well at Pebble, played good at the American Express. But Sahith Theegala, kid is balling.
Theegala.
Balling.
Dude, I thought it was awesome seeing him have so much passion.
Yeah.
I mean, tearing up, you could tell just how much it meant to him. I mean,
I love it.
It was cool.
And a grind,
he was torn up, man. I mean, because he had his chance to win, and he's so young, but it still was cool being that young, because most guys would be like, oh, I was just happy to have a chance, and too bad it didn't go my way. But you could tell he's a competitor, you know?
Yeah.
That bothered him. It wasn't just like somebody that were just upset that they lost. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, so 73.
Not cool that he was upset, but it was cool that he cared that much, you know?
7,300. So, oh, by the way, as we're sitting here recording this, it appears that the Americans have just won a gold and a silver medal in the men's slope style, by the way. So,
really?
Go
USA.
Let's go. Yeah.
Yes.
7,300 for Thigala. That's my second pick.
Yeah, he kind of went up the charts, though, on there. I was like, maybe that's a little too high. But he's good. I mean, he's been playing good golf. And didn't he – I just saw on the Golf Channel, too, is he was one of the college players that made it into the Riviera tournament before. So he's played the course. So
yeah, yeah.
I think it was him and Scotty Scheffler and Zalatoris and some of that. They're showing some notables that made the Riviera Genesis with that college exemption. So I like that. We're agreeing too much, dude. We're too nice to each other. So 7,700 coming in. Guy's been playing some great golf, 4 out of 5 cuts. He's got 1 top 10. Hasn't played in a ton of tournaments yet this year, but he had a 17th at Sony Open, and he has 1 win. Your boy Jason Kokrak.
Kokrak.
In the 7,000s, dude. So I think that's good. He just hasn't played a lot. The buzz is kind of low on him.
Where's he been lately?
No clue, dude. Hopefully he's not hurt, or hopefully he doesn't have COVID, because I should have switched to Daniel Berger after you told me that he had COVID and he played horrible and missed the cut last week.
Yeah, yeah. So, all right, why don't you go next, and then I'll fire one off.
All right, so 7,800, Old Man Weather, the Spaniard, Sergio, 7,800, dude.
No,
he was 12th last week, and he was 12th in Dubai at the end of, I guess it was the week before last. He was 7th in Mayakoba, 25th at the CJ Cup, and his worst was the Sanderson Farm, 69th.
Right.
But he's played well at Riviera before, I think, at least.
Yeah.
If I'm just trying to recall it just from memory, not that I have like some photographic memory, but I feel like he's played well out there before.
I don't hate the pick.
Sergio, man.
I don't hate it. I mean, if you say
it's
he's played well.
It's low, too, man. The 7,000, 7,800. He's,
yeah.
Sergio, man.
I'm looking at the leaderboard from last year. Look what we got here. Homa won at 12. So 12 was the winning storm, and they wanted to play. He won in a playoff. Finau went low that day. You had Burns, who was leading, literally tearing it up the whole weekend, and then cost me $90. And then you had Cam Smith at 9, Rahm at 7. I think Finau and Burns both shot 64 at 2 different times on the weekend. Burns shot a 64 to open. Hovland played well. Fitz played well. Molinari, Jones, DJ, Patrick Rogers. This guy's been playing well. Alex Noren, he's played well lately too.
But yes. He just stresses me out with his techniques.
I did not pick him. So my next pick, just moving on up another $100 at 7,400. He's got a win a couple weeks ago at the Abu Dhabi. One Tomas Peters, the muscles from Brussels.
Okay. I like that pick.
Yeah, his last three
starts. He's a great player, man. He's just bound to win a PGA Tour event at some point.
Well, it's funny. You look at DraftKings, and they have him. They only have 3 tournaments listed. The golf competition for the Olympics, he finished 16th. He won the Abu Dhabi, and then he finished 12th at the Sync.io. So I don't know if he hasn't played that much or what, but you know what? I'm going to roll the dice that the muscles from Brussels is going to go out and just tear it up. Give me some points. We'll be good to go.
All right.
Next up for me.
Yeah, give me your second. Yeah, get you another one.
What do I got here? At 8,300, he's a past champion at the Genesis Invitational. And when I mean past, as in last year, Max Homa.
Wow. You think he's going to go back to back, or just
I don't know if
finish?
He's going to go back to back, but I know what he's going to be juice going in this week. He played well. I think he played well last week, I believe. So I'm excited. I think Max Homa could go out and put a nice top 10 finish up. He loves that tournament. He's got a little bit of feels going on since he got to see Tiger there when he was a kid. I'm going with Homa. I like him. I like him going out there and playing well this weekend.
I thought about him because the value is pretty good, especially mm-hmm. with him winning last year. And he's an LA guy. He's, you know, been around that course and all that. And that always usually has a good effect, but I just don't know about him repeating. I feel like he is a great player. I really enjoy watching him, but he does have a little tiny choke factor because I think he just hasn't been in the top tier for long enough. I don't know. That's just my opinion. I mean, I really like his game. I really enjoy watching him. I think he's a great golfer, but you can't say he didn't choke last year when he had a 2-footer to win on 18 and just blows that. And then almost blows it on 10, but thankfully did pull a really nice shot out of the tree. You know, he just yanks it behind the tree. And then he did that was a sweet pitch out. And then did he drain the putt? I think he pitched it out. And then, no, because that was for,
Well, here's the trend. Going back to the Fortinet when he won, he finished first. Then a couple weeks later, he finished 72nd. Then he goes to the Houston Open. Couple weeks later, he finishes 35th. Then he goes to the RSM 95th. Then he goes to the Tournament of Champions. He finishes 15th. Then he goes to the Farmers and he finishes 80th. And then he goes to Waste Management and finishes 14th. So the trend would be he finishes like 65th and doesn't play well this week. But I'm hoping he's going to buck that trend this week.
We'll see it.
Well, that's what I'm hoping for.
He can't keep that trend up too long, you know?
No.
We'll see.
All right,
my next one coming in at 8,000, 10 out of 11 cuts. He's on fire this year. And just in terms of top 20 type, top 30 type finishes, is your boy Taylor Gooch, man. He was up there this past week. I had him as a winner.
He has.
Was about to win me some cash, but he had a bad Sunday. He has bad Sundays, man. He's another one that I don't know, with young dude, just maybe the Sunday jitters or something gets to him.
He's been consistent all year, though.
But he's had great finishes. I mean, he makes cuts. We were talking about last week. I was just looking at our pod last week. You got to make cuts with the DraftKings. Because if your dude's missed a cut, you're screwed.
Yep.
Like, you have no chance.
If
you have two or more cuts.
Yeah, if there's 10 guys in the pool and you're sitting third or fourth, and the guys in front of you got less holes left than you do, you're sitting pretty good. Especially if your guys are kind of middle of the pack or kind of the top of the pack, top of the leaderboard, you should be sitting all right. So I don't hate it. Right. I like it. He's played well. He's been consistent.
I'll give you another one. We'll do two, and then we'll do our last one. So as you read the leaderboard, I'm glad that he had a good finish last year. I didn't know that he's played well there. Australian, so that just gives it away. But five out of six cuts, he's got four top tens. The dude's a machine. The only time he played bad was his last tournament. He had a 90th, probably a missed cut at the Sony. But he has a first, he has a fourth, a ninth, and a tenth.
The mullet man,
or this year, the mullet man, Cam Smith.
Isn't it funny? He went from first to 90th.
He loves the multi-millers, man. Yeah.
First to 90th. I mean, I'll chalk that up to you just, I don't know, kind of hung over from the week.
He probably was fishing too much. He was hung over and went fishing.
That's probably
he wasn't caring about golf. He won his cash. He goes to fish. So thankfully, he probably is preparing this time.
Yep. Hope so.
He's not going to miss another cut.
All right. So,
let's hear your next two.
I got, coming in at 8,800, two cuts made, five out of seven cuts made, two top tens. Those two top tens coming in two of his last, he had one a couple weeks ago, and he had one at the American Express. I know I believe he was out sick a couple weeks ago with the vid, but I'm going with Will Zalatoris. I like it. I think he's talk about probably one of the most consistent guys on tour over the past 10 months, Zalatoris. So
What was his last couple finishes? Because I feel like he hasn't been quite as hot.
He has not.
The gate of 2022.
I was just looking and said update illness is Zalatoris illness is listed in the field. So he missed, he withdrew from Pebble Beach because he tested positive for COVID. He lost in the playoff to List at the Farmers. So, I mean, he went back to, he was slated to go to Pebble and then he tested positive, but he's got a sixth and a second at the American Express and the Farmers. So, prior to that, not so good. The Wells Fargo or the was it the Mayakoba and the Zozo, but the Zozo. Tone change.
This pick's making me nervous. Stats. It could go well for you. It could go bad.
I think it'd be all right. He finished well there last year. He let's see. He played pretty good there last year, from what I recall. I just had it up. Give me a second here. And Genesis Invitational 2021. He was, I don't think he was top 10. Maybe. Let's see. Zalatoris was tied 15th, shot 6 under.
Okay, that's not bad.
No, so he played well there last year.
I mean, people play well on certain courses. I mean, I've usually picked that with DraftKings. I mean, you see the trend,
right? Absolutely.
So you got one more pick?
I do.
I got
one more, and I went all in on this one, and I think, as well as this guy has played over the past year. And it was funny. Like, I looked at five guys, all top tier, all like have made cuts, all have played well. But then this one stood out because since the century, these are his finishes: fourth, ninth, fourth, second. Any guesses? I know you know who he is because I'm sure you picked him because this is your boy. Oh, and I'm just, let me see here. He's only got one round in the 70s out of all those tournaments. And that was at the American Express in round three. Excuse me. He's got
crazy.
Two rounds in the 70s.
Two rounds.
Patrick Cantlay.
Yeah, man. Your boy got Cantlay as well.
I mean, I'm looking at his averages, the FPPG. He's at 118 versus everybody else is at like at 76 or 68. So it's kind of a no-brainer. I'm sure everybody else in our league will pick him too, but
especially after finishing second last week, I think that he might be motivated or ticked off and ready to rock. I mean, I literally, like you're saying, I couldn't get past the four top tens, four out of four cuts on only four events. Like, sure, he could throw a dud this week, absolutely, but when you're looking at the top tiers, John Rahm, like we were talking about, is a little shaky, but he's been playing good golf and bad golf. You know, you got Justin Thomas, same kind of thing. He's been around the mix, couple top tens here and there. He won once, right, this year? Or did he win once?
Who's that?
Or no. Thomas? Yeah.
I don't think
maybe
so.
Maybe didn't win this year yet. But I was about to pull the trigger on him, didn't pull it. Morikawa, just every time I've picked him recently, he just lets me down. I mean, even though he's been playing decent over in Europe or in Saudi, but I like it, dude. Cantlay. So boys, we're on the same page usually, man.
Yep.
With the DraftKings picks.
Well, let's roll that into our D-Gen picks here.
You got a couple to give the listeners?
Yeah, I won't give them all because some of them kind of fall in line with my my league picks. So I picked Homa to win. Just why not? See if he can go back-to-back, plus 5,000. I went with Koepka to win, plus 3,500. Kind of took a shot in the dark on that one. I think it's possible. And I picked Cantlay to win. Those are probably my easy ones. But my other two that I really like, one, he played well there last year, and I'm surprised he's not in either one of on our DK teams. But this guy, Matty Fitz has played well lately. I think he's played well there. It's a good, like I said, it's a true test. I think he plays better at tougher golf courses. So I have Matty Fitz to win at plus 3,500. And then my long shot, this guy's a rookie on tour coming from the Corn Ferry, Taylor Pendrith. plus
Hendricks. I like that.
Plus 18,000. Whew. Please hit.
Dude, I got some even more bottom feeders, brother.
Oh, wow.
So I talked about him with the DraftKings picks, man. My low totem pole guy, JT Poston, dude. Plus 30,000.
Wow.
300 bones off a buck.
Wow.
I don't think that's that. That's no Danny Lee pick.
But you know what? You know what? Here's how I look at that. Sam Burns last year, I don't know what he was. I mean, he was plus 9,000 going in, and I think last year, and it would have won me $91. So
same.
I don't hate it. I mean, he would have to play pretty consistent for 4 days, but I don't hate it.
Right. And then my other low one is even lower, 35,000 plus 35,000 is Doc Redmond. You know, I was big on him last year. He played like crap towards the very, very end of the year, but then he's been playing pretty well recently. Like just sneaking. I've just been seeing him kind of sneak on the leaderboard. But that dude is one of those dudes that are young that definitely has the talent to win. I mean, he was, what was it at the tournament down in the Carolinas where DJ won? He was up close, I think. I think he was third or something. But those are my two bottom feeders. And I'll give two of my top ones that maybe aren't related quite to my DK pick, so it changes it up a little bit. At plus 4,000, you got Sam Burns, so $1 would win you $40. That worked almost really well for me and you last year. So,
yep.
And then Sergio, dude, plus 6,000, $60 off a buck.
That's pretty good. I like the Burns pick. I think Burns is a good pick.
I think we got some good energy going because that was the only picked winner I had last year was Genesis, and I had both guys that were top two. I guess Burns didn't end up second because I was Finau out, but he ended up third or whatever, right?
Yeah.
But Homa won, so then he won me like $70. But I'm feeling it, Stats. I'm gonna be there. I'm going to miss my flight on Sunday, just like cheering him on.
Well, your boy here has got
I'm going to miss the wedding.
Your boy, well, I know we haven't talked Super Bowl a lot, but I'm going to throw this in there because I'm pretty juiced. Your boy, CC Stats, I dropped a little bit on some DK picks, a few parlays, probably $20 worth, maybe 25. Didn't hit one. Not one parlay did I. I think one I came close. The rest of them, all losers. Which, that's gambling, right? Then you get down to the squares pools. So the boys' baseball team did a little fundraiser, threw some money in there. I had some decent numbers. Didn't win there. But my old friends at the old establishment that I used to work at. They always invite me. I play in a football pool. Put in some money. Sitting in the exact same seat I'm sitting in right now on Sunday. I'm watching the game. I look over and I'm like, oh, there's like 3 minutes left. I was like, wonder what the numbers are. Who's got the numbers? Oh, your boy's got 3-0. The Rams are marching down the field. I'm like, please, Lord, don't let them score. They don't score. 3-0 hit. Your boy wins $200, right? That's just the beginning of the night. Food's all cleaned up. Wife and kid go watch the game upstairs. Friend leaves. Sitting down here watching the game, having a little drink, finishing my drink up. Rams are driving. About a minute left. I went, hold on a second. It's 20-16. If they score 7, it's 3-0. I'm like, please, Lord, let them score. They score. Then I'm like, oh, they're going to go. Please don't go for 2. They go for 2, I'm screwed. It's 22 or 24. They don't go for 2. Now I'm like, please don't kick an extra point. Or please kick the extra point, but don't drop it like you did earlier. They don't drop it. It kicks it. Now it's 3-0 again. I owed Aaron Donald a drink for sacking or attempting to sack Joe Burrow because your boy won the fourth quarter and won $400.
Let's go.
So your boy is $600 to the good right now going into the week.
Nice.
That was a good week.
Supporting the team. You didn't throw 100 bills in your pocket.
No, I might make an electronic purchase for the outdoor, get a little outdoor projector here soon with a screen so I can watch some golf and some sports outside. The rest of it might be stashed for a trip to Sin City here coming up later this year. So
true.
Even my mom said, good job, Chris.
That's awesome. I love it.
So
keep that energy going, man.
That's right.
I love it.
All right,
well,
man.
When your boy Moonshine goes to Riviera, I believe, this week, hopefully our boys get up and down.
I hope you get up and down, too. I hope to see you on TV with a sign that says get up and down.
Let's hope, man. And I apologize to the listeners with the audio. We will be back in full good audio situation. And lost my Mac, don't have my mic, but we're grinding through because we want to put out some content. And we want to tell you that your boy Moonshine's going to be at Riviera and probably miss the wedding.
Safe travels,
no,
my friend.
I couldn't do that. Thanks, brother. Later. That should stop the recording.